Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Beautiful, sunny Clearwater, where it is raining like cats and dogs today. I didn't see any cats or dogs. Did you, Brother Nathan?
I didn't see any cats
but
and dogs.
But it is like raining.
It's really pouring.
And we got caught in a downpour a little while ago, didn't we, Nan?
Oh, showers of blessing, Pastor.
Showers of blessing. Nan's still soaked.
Showers of blessing.
Okay. If you haven't figured it out, it's Nathan Burton to my left, our keyboard player and minister of music at Beacon of Hope. And to my right, Nan Watson.
Yes.
This is your second show with
I'm
us
so cool.
on the radio.
Thank you, Brother Bill.
You know, I know why you just did that applause, Bill, is because Nan always takes care of you. She brings you banana bread and fruit and dessert and little goodies, and that's why you just applauded her, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, you know, Pastor, that's kind of like God. He gives us special little things. You know?
Oh, I knew it. We were going to take it there someplace, right?
But that's good.
That is good.
That's good.
And you have a surprise for the audience. Is that correct?
Maybe. Not sure. Quite for sure. But maybe.
You're not quite sure.
Not quite sure if I have a surprise, but if I do, I do. And if I don't, I don't.
Well,
I might.
Well, you know, you're not supposed to think quite sure. You're supposed to lean on Jesus.
That's right.
We do. So if the Holy Spirit leads that way, we have a surprise for the audience.
Yes. And if that person is listening right now who came from my womb, she can call in at 727-441-3000 later on in the show as the Holy Spirit moves that person who came from my womb.
And who might that person be?
We'll just have to wait and see.
We'll wait and see?
Yeah.
Well, praise God.
We never know.
Be one of five. Is that right?
One of three. Oh. One of three, not five.
Okay.
Woo! We're so glad you've joined us. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and these are my crazy friends here to my left and right. And what a blessing they are. They really are. And what a great time we've had already today, even though we got soaked in the rain between Bob Evans and the church. What a joy.
But we really got soaked in church today.
Soaked in the rain of the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Spirit,
Brother
Spirit
Nathan.
Just fell and lingered.
Lingered.
He lingered.
And
we just wanted to linger right there with him.
Oh, my. It was powerful.
It was so powerful. He came forth in word.
Yes.
And he came
prophetic
forth
word.
In song.
Yes.
You know, just
you wrote a new
know.
Song right on the spot by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I was scrambling, and Pastor Jim and I were to find the little recorder that we have on the piano for such events. And I don't think we got it all, but it was a powerful song.
Well, praise God.
It was prophetic. You know,
If God wants to, he can bring it back
again. Absolutely. And he will.
Because I know it felt powerful.
It was powerful.
And it felt direct. Mm. It felt like it was
a prophetic word.
A direct prophetic word.
In song.
But it was a song that touched the hearts of all that were there.
Absolutely. And one of our, one of the guys that was only there for the second time today went to lunch with some of us. And he was saying it was the Holy Spirit was singing over his people.
Yes.
And I so agree. And God does that. God sings over his people. He sings songs of deliverance. And that is what was going on today. And if you were not physically at Beacon of Hope this morning, Oh, my. Maybe you can get on a plane and come next week.
Yes, come down. We have room for you.
Oh, my. It was just
right
powerful.
Right now, we have room for you.
Yeah, right now.
But we can't promise. We can't promise in the future because
God is bringing in new people.
Building, yes. God is building the congregation. Mm-hmm. And we know that he's building it to 1,000 strong.
Yes.
Because that has been our prayer for weeks.
That has been our prayer.
For weeks and weeks. And when we're seeing him do it.
We're seeing him
add to our numbers every week. It's been a wonderful, wonderful.
It's powerful.
Exciting experience to see God just bring people in.
Right.
And in unique ways.
Right.
Like with George and his vehicle break down in the parking lot and him camping out for a couple of days there. And then he decided, well, I better go in here. And he came into the church. And,
that's right.
And Holy Spirit got a hold of him. And he just, you know, he loves us.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a part of us. And
Isn't that great?
It's great.
Yes.
It's great. God is great.
He is. And
God
he's just doing wonderful things in people's lives.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that today, about how God can use us as harvest hands the most. In other words, there is a key ingredient to being used as harvest hands, and today we are going to get nitty-gritty into that key ingredient, and it is going to bless your life.
You do not want to miss it.
Amen.
This. Amen.
That's right.
If you need to, get a pen and paper, or get a tape recorder or something to record this special broadcast today, because it is essential.
It is essential
to being a harvest hand.
Amen. It is essential. And we actually, it'll be up on our website by tomorrow afternoon.
Yes, it will.
So you can always go back and listen there. So now, Brother Bill in the engineer booth in there on the other side of the glass.
Eating cookies that Nan brought.
You are eating cookies that Nan brought and Sean made. So he gets the credit.
Well, he gets both credits. He brought them and made them.
Right.
Sean made them?
Yeah, yes. Sean made them.
Yes.
Peanut butter.
Yeah, peanut butter.
He does a good
really
job.
Darn
what
good.
What kind of peanut butter? Skippy? Crunchy? Publix? Winn-Dixie?
Skippy's.
Yeah.
Betty Crocker, he says out here.
Whatever kind, it doesn't matter. They're excellent. And, Bill, we are so glad to be here today
and enjoy. I'm waiting to talk to this special person because I've been wanting to talk to him for a long time.
Well, I certainly hope that this person
calls in
in 45 minutes or so.
Hint, 45 minutes. You got that?
You got that special person? So anyway, it's a great day in the house
Praise
of the Lord.
God.
And it's a great day because the Tampa Bay Rays are only a half a game out. Go Rays!
Go Rays.
Oh, go Rays. That's
go, Rays.
Go,
yeah,
Rays.
Go Rays.
Go Rays. Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, Bill and I can't be the only one excited about this. We're very excited about it. But Bill and I each have matching Evan Longoria shirts.
We do.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So if they get in the playoffs, Bill and I will be wearing our matching Longoria shirts.
Hey, didn't you have another baptism?
Not since Labor Day. Labor Day we did, yes. And actually,
I thought you got another one coming up.
No, not right this minute because the water gets cooler, so we kind of wait around on that. But we do have our 10th anniversary. That's what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. My, the applesauce is just flowing today,
just
isn't it?
Over.
Isn't it great?
it's wonderful.
Our 10th anniversary. Get ready with the drum roll. Our 10th anniversary, thank you very much, is going to be happening 2 weeks from today, October 7th through 9th, that weekend. And Beacon of Hope becomes 10 years old that day. And that is darn exciting.
It's quite a milestone.
Oh, yes, we can do this.
We can do
the bell. Anytime you feel the Holy Spirit leading you to do the bell, you can.
Okay, thank you.
October 7th to 9th. We're going to talk more about that in a little while. But first, we're going to get to our first song. And wow, are we glad to be here with you today on Living the Good Life. C.C. Winans, he's not on his knees yet.
He doesn't know his word. Where's the saddest smile on earth? But he denies it. Love is reaching out to him, but he won't let it in. Not ready, he's not on his knees yet. too strong to be weak. Show him mercy. He's not on his knees yet. Let him break, please make him better. Put the pieces back together. Alone, I have walked the road he's on, and I know he's searching, looking everywhere but up. He can't fill his empty cup, so he keeps hurting. He keeps hurting.
First time I've ever heard that song. That's talking about somebody. It says he's not ready yet. He's not on his knees. He's too strong to be weak. Let him break, please. Mm, mm. I wrote those words down. Those are amazing words. Mm. That so fits in to what we're talking about today. To be effective for the kingdom of God and be that harvest hand takes obedience. It takes allowing God to see you through your times of brokenness.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about brokenness and how essential that is to being exactly where God wants you at the right time and being that effective harvest hand. It takes being broken and being on your knees and saying, all right, God, I humble myself before you because in my own strength, in fact, one of the lines was, he's too strong to be weak. And so often we are so strong that we haven't realized that God wants us to be weak so that he can be our strength. And that verse that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, takes on new meaning when we realize that in our own strength, we can't do it.
Exactly.
Whatever it is.
Exactly.
Go with me today to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle. I'm in verse 1. On assignment by Jesus. Now, dear one, you have an assignment by Jesus. Maybe you haven't figured out what it is yet, but you got an assignment. The Messiah, the Jesus, the Messiah, writing to exiles, I'm reading from the Message Bible, scattered to the four winds. Mm. Not one is missing, not one forgotten. Mm. I love that, Nathan and Nan.
Yes.
Not one is missing,
yes.
Not
praise
one
God.
Is forgotten.
Thank you, Jesus.
Nobody even listening to us right now is missing.
No.
They're not
right.
missing.
No.
And they're not forgotten. God knows who these people are.
And he knows where they are.
And he knows where they yes. are. God the Father has his eye on each of you. Mm. Oh, I love that.
That's great.
Isn't that great?
I just think, oh
he has
God,
his eye
exciting.
On
yes.
each of you, okay?
Yes, praise God.
That means, Nan, God is watching you.
Yes, he is.
Yes. Ooh. All right. And has determined by the work of the Spirit to keep you obedient. Mm. Mm. There is that word that we're going to talk about today for Harvest Hands. that God is determined by the work of the Spirit to keep you obedient. And if you're one of those out there that's struggling with this topic of obedience, I think today's show will be life-changing for you. And maybe you're one of those out there that didn't even realize that you need to be obedient, and it's like, this is a newsflash. That's okay, too, because it's going to be a cool newsflash when you get it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so God is determined by the work of the Spirit to keep you obedient through the sacrifice of Jesus. Mm. May everything good from God be yours. May everything good from God be yours.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, Nathan, we've been talking about this a lot lately, of God's goodness, and our theme for the anniversary coming up after 10 years is remembering the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
And I love that. God gave us that theme, and I really feel like God is saying some strong things here. Let's go on to verse 3, and then I'm going to get you too involved here. What a God we have. I'm reading out of the Message Bible, and I teach out of that a lot at Beacon of Hope. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have Him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life. Now, that's a whole lot to get excited about.
Oh, yes.
Because Jesus was risen from the dead, we've been given a brand new life. I don't know about y'all, but I think a brand new life is much better to the other. The other option. So we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for. Mm-hmm. Everything to live for. Mm. There might be some in our audience right now who feel like they don't have much to live for anymore. Maybe they're at the end of life. Mm. Maybe they're close to death. Maybe they are emotionally dying. Maybe they are depressed, suicidal. All of those things. I mean, there's a lot of people like that.
I almost died Wednesday night.
Mm. Oh, my.
We were having dinner.
Yeah?
And somebody bought me some dinner, a nice steak, but I didn't cut this one piece of steak up all the way.
Oh, Brother Bill.
And I was like, you know, you're kind of, I'm like, I know I'm choking.
Oh, my. And that's a terrible feeling.
I know, and I'm like, and I'm looking to the other guy, and I'm pointing, and then finally the lady, she's screaming, he's choking.
Did somebody do the Heimlich on you?
But by the time they got there, It unlodged.
Good.
I like
Praise
that word.
God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
But I was scared.
Yeah.
That's
a scary thing.
In other words, you weren't ready to go meet your maker yet, right?
Right.
Brother Bill.
But that's a warning sign from God, right? It says, hey, pay attention.
Well, we told you to come to Bible study. And you say it was Wednesday night, right?
It was Wednesday night.
All right, that's God. Okay, let's go on. We're teasing him. Anyway, you have everything to live for, and we're glad you're alive, by the way, Brother Bill, today.
Yes, we are.
Including a future in heaven, and the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life, healed, and whole.
Hallelujah.
That's what God's in the process of doing, Brother Nathan. He's healing us.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but it's just a glorious thing to know that you're more healed today than you were a week ago.
Emotionally, physically, everything.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
You know, you mentioned it this morning in your prayer in my office before the service that our slogan at Beacon of Hope is,
where the word of God brings
healing
and restoration. To broken lives.
That's right. And that's what it's all about.
That's exactly what it's all about.
And that's what God is still doing.
And God is doing that. God is doing that every week at Beacon of Hope Ministries.
Amen.
We're seeing people's lives. It's amazing to me because I get an opportunity to, you know, ever since I was advised to keep my eyes open during the service, because I usually close my eyes and worship and praise.
Right.
But to keep my eyes open and keep a smile on my face to the general congregation, you can see so much.
What God is doing.
You can see so, because you see tears, you see expressions on people's faces, and you know it's because the Spirit of God is moving and doing things in their lives, changing something. God is doing something in these people, what that does for my spirit to see that and to know that that's going, and God is doing something in their lives.
Yes. It's just amazing.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
You know,
how great is our God?
The word of God can mean different things to different people.
Right.
But it's still the word of God.
Exactly.
Affecting that particular problem or that mm-hmm. particular need.
And we never know how God's going to move in a service no. and how it's going to happen. And today, I had been gone for a couple days out of town, got home late last night, and Pastor Jim preached this morning. And I love Pastor Jim to preach, but you know it's hard for me to just let anybody right. preach except me. You know, I love it so much. But what a glorious service. And he did a great job. And in the praise and worship, we went to that place of abandoning ourselves. Mm-hmm. So many did. And were just caught up in worship and praise. Mm-hmm. And it was just mm-hmm. a glorious place today of yes. just obeying God
yes.
and knowing that God wanted to do something mighty in the service. And he did.
Yes,
he did.
He did.
Let's look at verse 6 of 1 Peter 1. I know how great this makes you feel. This is Peter talking. Even though you've been put You have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I know that it seems like, Pastor Jim preached on this morning, that times are getting harder. And there is a lot. As we approach the coming of the Lord, there will be a lot more difficulty in people's lives. And there will be certain difficult things to deal with that yes. a lot of us are having to deal with. But Peter says here, I know you put up with every kind of aggravation. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it, proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out, proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Never saw him, yet you love him. I love those verses. And some of you in our listening audience, you want to comment today and get involved in this discussion, you can email. Nan's got the email up right here beside her. And it's pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And you can get involved with our discussion with questions or comments. And then we'll read your email as we can. Oh, my. Nathan, this is talking about the fact that we are going through times that are difficult. We're times of aggravation.
Listen, tribulation.
Yeah.
I mean, the word of God tells us don't be surprised.
Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal.
Go through the fiery ordeals.
I think that says that in your...
The tribulations. You know, because, I mean, look what Jesus went through.
Exactly. Well, let's give in a minute on the Message Bible and let Nan read her King James. Praise God, Nan.
Come on, Nan.
The part about the fiery ordeal, 6 and 7 or whatever
six
it is.
6 and 7, okay. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
I love the way that sounds.
That's nice.
You, Lord. Yes.
You know, because basically Peter is acknowledging these are tough times. Now, these were tough times 2,000 years ago.
They're tougher now.
They're tougher now
because back then they didn't have the distraction of television.
Right.
They didn't have the distraction of radio. They didn't have the distraction of the computer games and the computer. They didn't have the technology that we have today that is more distracting and more destructive.
Yeah.
I mean, because the computer has been used in many ways to destroy lives.
Exactly.
To destroy people's lives.
Right.
And you think about that. You know, Christ has got to come back because if he doesn't, we're going to extinguish ourselves.
Right. No, he will be back soon. Pastor Jim talked about that. But, you know, during these hard times that a lot of people are going through, a lot of people are suffering economically.
Yes.
A lot of people are suffering with job situations that just aren't good or not there at all.
Just not there.
We have a few in our congregation that are still believing God for jobs. Mm-hmm. One did get a job a couple week or so ago that we've been believing for a few months. Mm-hmm. And now we've got a couple more that we need to really pray those situations through. But whatever your situation is out there, God allows these things.
Yes, he does not
cause them, but he allows them. And we are tested by these situations, and we grow
through them.
Through them, we either grow towards God or away from God. But we are ever changing, and we cannot stay the same. Your spiritual temperature, so to speak. It does not stay the same. You change all the time. Every day you're changing, and there are things going on in your life. Opportunities for you, like Nathan was talking about, the negative aspects of this technological age. And there are so many opportunities to go that direction and get caught up with distractions that take you away from the Word of God and away from God. And yet, on the other hand, there's benefits, you know, technology with our jobs and so forth. So, I mean, God is really saying, okay, let's get you on your knees. That first song we did, he's not on his knees yet. I'm going to go back to those words I wrote down. He's not ready. He's not on his knees yet. He's too strong to be weak. Let him break, please. What does that say? Woo, Nan, you go first, then Nathan will follow up here.
I'd say there's one particular person in my life right now that needs to be hearing those words, but we won't say any names.
Okay. But he is listening, I can tell.
He put his hand to his ear listening.
Oh, okay. You know? All right, yeah. So often we get caught up in thinking we can solve our own problems. We get caught up in pride. We get caught up in arrogance. We get caught up in a desire to fix our own lives, whatever that means. Maybe we think if we fall in love with a new person, that'll fix it. Maybe we think if we buy a new house, that'll fix it, the pain deep within. Maybe we think if we can just get a better job, that'll fix all this agony and all this pain. And today's show is talking about obedience as the key to really being set free and being effective in other people's lives. And we see here, Peter says, you know, you're going to go through some hard times. That's part of living. But what you do with those hard times is essential. And it absolutely important to your future, what you do with those hard times. So often, let's talk about the negative side of that for a minute, what people do so often when they do go through hard times. Do you want to comment on that, Nan? And then we'll get back to Nan. I noticed, Nathan, you're drying out a little bit from all that rainstorm. You're beginning to feel a little drier?
A little bit drier.
All right, good. That's good. No umbrella. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm drawing a blank today on my mind. I tell you, the rain just got to me. So could you please re-ask me that question again?
I will
again,
re-ask
and I'll be happy
you
to
that
respond
question.
To that, praise God.
In all these things that are going on in our lives, and so often we let those circumstances that be negative control us and take us to a bad place instead of taking us closer to God. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, I think, you know, well, like we've already said, everyone has things happen. Mm-hmm. How we respond to those things, you know, determines how we move forward.
Exactly.
And
or if we move forward.
If we move, well,
that's a good point.
We don't, you know, if we don't look to God to help us through those things, we kind of go backwards. You were talking about a barometer. It can go one way or the other in a negative kind of way. I feel that when we don't respond to, and notice I said respond, not react. When we don't respond to our situations in with the Lord's help the way we need to, I feel they get worse.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least they seem to get worse because we're not relying on God to help us through those situations.
Exactly. And this song that we just did, Nathan, was talking about the importance of allowing yourself to be broken to get to your knees. Do you want to comment on that?
Yes. So many of us in the natural feel complete that we are a God unto ourselves and that, you know, positive thinking and things of this nature, we feel that I can do it.
Right.
I can do it. I can make it. Mm-hmm. And we don't realize that without God, without allowing the potter to break us and remold us and remake us, that we really, we can't reach our full potential.
Exactly.
We can't reach it. Because we were created to have fellowship with God. We were created to be God men, people that had fellowship with God.
Amen.
And that lived a life that demonstrated God to other people.
Amen.
And we can't reach that potential without God.
Because we really were created to be dependent on God.
Yes.
Society tells us be dependent on nobody but yourself.
Yes.
Be self-sustaining. It's all about you, baby. You know, you're the coolest thing in the world, you know. That's New Age thinking. And the Holy Spirit and the Bible says, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's not about you, sweetheart.
It's not about you.
Right. It's all about Jesus. That song you wrote.
All about Jesus.
It's all about you, Jesus.
All
you know.
Jesus.
And it is. And then we get caught up in ego trips.
Yes.
We get caught up in pride and arrogance where we think, I can fix this. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to get so-and-so to notice me. And then, you know, on and on and on and on.
Performance. Right. Well, yeah, we have so many answers. We have so many solutions. And, I mean, so many gurus in the world that can tell us things.
Right.
And we listen to that.
Right.
And ultimately, it has no impact.
Absolutely.
There's no impact on the problems or the aggravations or the distractions or the trials, the tribulation that we're going through. There's no impact on them at all.
Right.
There really isn't.
Because without God and His Word changing us and us learning to become obedient to Him and to His Word,
yes,
we are spinning our wheels and just kind of biding
in
to
one place.
Biding
our worlds in one wheels in one place and not growing, not changing. Right. As a matter of fact, we're devolving.
Mm-hmm. You know, many years ago, back in the 70s.
Were you here in the 70s?
Yeah, okay, well, whatever. My kids were little. And
Your kids?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 70s?
Yeah, well, whatever.
Okay.
Something like that. Anyway, they were born kind of in the late 70s. Okay, so this must have been in the 80s, actually, because, yeah, you made me think, and no, they weren't.
Okay.
No, okay, it had to be, yeah, they were little guys in the 80s. Okay.
Okay.
Well, my ex-husband and I had one of those great big Ford vans that seated 150 people or something, you know?
Yes.
And they were just all seats, like rows.
Mm-hmm.
And it had absolutely no traction in the back end of it, okay? One particular winter, I got stuck 14 times in my own driveway.
Mm-mm.
And I would just spin. I would try to back out, have the kids all in there, you know, ready to go wherever we were going. And there we were, just flipping
just
snow
wheels
up in the air. And we could not, we absolutely, this is interesting. I didn't think about this until right this minute, and this fits. Because what we did was we had a water softener. Mm. So we got 40-pound bags of salt and filled the whole back of the van up with salt in its bags to get a heavy
weight
in order to quit
traction.
Spinning so much. And we talked last week about the importance of salt.
Salt.
You know, and how I'm getting like you, Nan, with these little stories
here.
Praise
God.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
But after we filled the back of that Ford van with salt, I did not spin out as many times,
praise
you know,
God.
Or it took less time to get me out, but whatever. But so often we are just spinning our wheels,
yes.
Okay,
and going nowhere.
And what is snow? It's just water anyway,
it's,
you know.
Just
but
H2O,
exactly. But what happens so often is it takes a form. Things take forms in our lives that we just find ourselves spinning our wheels,
slipping and sliding,
and getting nowhere, right? And then right. Oh, yeah. Your wheels are turning right now. Yeah. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, you were talking about you had to put the weight in the back of the van.
We did,
to be able to move forward.
We did,
and you know, we grow. I seem to be growing more in the Lord as I'm having difficulties going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
As
there you
there's
go.
A weight, and maybe there seems to be a weight.
Praise
going
God.
On.
That's
it,
right.
It, you know, I mean, you know, okay. I've gone through a couple of health issues recently. Well, within the past couple of weeks, some stuff going on, and just different stuff. And I'm praying more.
Mm-hmm.
I pray in a lot in my office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's pretty cool. So this is the more that the Satan tries to bring on me, well, then the more that I'm praying.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, that weight that seems to try to be there to take me down is bringing me up, because by choice I am praising my God and I am praying to my God and I am
praise
lifting
God.
His name up
praise
in my
God.
Office on a regular basis. Hey, praise God, even praying with people. God's open doors to pray. Show Satan. Lady, you have breast cancer. I pray with her in my office Friday.
Praise
God. I mean, so Satan trying to bring things against you. But praise God. However, be that as it may, keep praying and
so
praising.
So 1 Peter 1:6 that we read a few minutes ago, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Mm. These have come to you so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Mm. Oh, my. So these trials sometimes break us and send us to our knees. Yes. But, guys, that is the goal for the trial.
Yes.
Right?
That is
Absolutely.
The goal that we should, that's where we should go.
That's where we got to go. We've got to get to our ultimate destination.
Right.
We have got to get to our knees.
Ultimate destination. But sometimes people take so many detours trying to get off them under this trial or a burden. We take so many detours trying to get away from it instead of going directly to our knees.
And saying, God, you got to get this problem out of me or I need deliverance for it
or
I need you to move into my life in a certain way and show me where I'm making the mistakes so that I can repent and get closer to you. Nan?
Praise God.
Amen.
Just dealing with this health thing, I was praising God and the pain started getting worse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I'd speak to Satan. I said, I'm going to still keep praising God. You know, and the word says that the God of heaven is a praise of his people.
Yes.
And like what Brother Nathan was just saying, how sometimes we try to figure it out and figure it out, and I'm going to do this, and to figure out what's happening and what's wrong, start praising the Lord. Get down on your knees, like you said. Get down on your knees.
Absolutely.
And God will drop in your mind what you need to do.
Yes.
Exactly.
There's things that we face that decisions have to be made.
That's right.
So we need to think upon those things. I'm not saying negate that, because that's a responsibility that we need to do, is think upon those things. But we think upon the things with the God thoughts in our mind as we're praising him and praying to him. And I keep saying praising because the word, as I said, doesn't say that God inhabits the praise of his people.
That's right.
You know, so of course we need to bring our petitions before the Lord and let him know
what we need
to praise him too.
That's right.
And it just
right.
brings it all together, and it just really works out pretty cool. That's
you sound a little excited about
I'm
this.
I'm so excited.
John's
so
excited.
I'm so excited.
I don't know why.
God's doing new things in my life. Praise God. The obedience thing is so, because I've been so disobedient the last year. I've been so disobedient. I told you when I was on the program last time, we have to be honest and open.
Absolutely.
If we can't be honest and open, we might as well not be on this radio station.
That's right.
That's right.
We are going to get back to your disobedience in a little while. We are going to get back to your disobedience.
Yes, ma'am.
But in the meantime,
praise God.
The point is well taken that when we try to fix it ourselves, now this is a motto with AA. I know it is. Been to a lot of Al-Anon meetings in my day.
Mm-hmm.
And let go and let God is exactly what we have to do. And yet we strive with, I'm going to do it this way.
I can do it.
Or I'm feeling sorry for myself and nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms.
Right.
And that
poor
whole,
me.
Uh-huh,
poor me.
Nobody loves me. All of that takes over. And when it does, it's hard to be obedient to the voice of God.
That's right.
When you are so consumed with your own self.
Well, God doesn't even want to come to a pity party. God doesn't want to come to a
That's
pity
right.
party.
He doesn't like to go to those?
No, nobody likes to.
Oh.
Not even God.
Oh, nobody does.
Nobody likes to go to a pity party.
You mean if I have a pity party, you won't come with me, Brother
you
Nathan?
You have a pity party, you're by yourself.
But I really want you with me, Brother Nathan.
No,
I mean, I want to have pity on myself for a while. You won't work with me on that?
Why not, Nan? Why don't people want to come to a pity party? Because he's not coming to yours.
I'm not going to have a pity party. I don't like him either. But,
why don't people like to join in
on pity parties
with somebody else's pity?
Well, I don't like to be, one thing, I don't like to be around the negativity.
That's right.
And it can drag me down.
Mm-hmm.
It can weigh me down
there
when I'm around someone who's who's doing that.
Feeling sorry for themselves.
That doesn't mean that you don't share. Mm-mm. You know, you can share and you can request prayer. There's a difference between sharing and asking for prayer and having pity on yourself.
Yes.
And when you have pity on yourself, you don't want to get out of the pit that you're in. You want to stay in having pity instead of leaving the pit.
Well, you stay in the pit because you think you get more attention.
That's it.
You know what, Nathan?
That's it.
That is exactly right.
But, yes.
Self-pity is one of the things the devil wants on self-pity is to draw attention to the person that is mired in the self-pity.
That's exactly
and
right.
Instead, what we need to be doing is drawing attention to the power of the Holy Spirit that wants to and can change your circumstances if you come out of that.
That's right. He'll bring you out. God will bring you
out. So you have to make a choice?
Yes.
You have to make a choice.
It's all about
choice.
Boy, we're going to be talking more about choice today because it is all about choice. So this show is about the effectiveness of being used by God with people around us. And we are going to go as far today as this. Obedience is the key to effectiveness in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to be out there on a limb with that statement, and we believe it.
We choose to be obedient.
We choose to be obedient. And it's not easy sometimes, and as the show progresses, we're going to talk about some of the ways that we can conquer that selfishness or self-centeredness in each of us that says, I'm feeling sorry for myself.
I want to do it my way.
There you go.
There you
sounded
go.
Just like Frank Sinatra.
There you go. All right.
Okay. So
that song. I mean, from the beginning when it first came out, it just kind of rubbed me. The
oh, absolutely.
Wrong way.
It's not spiritual at all.
I did it my way.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely.
Okay, and it became a monstrous hit.
Yes,
a monstrous hit. But the reason why it became a monstrous hit because it resonated with so many people who are not people of God.
People want to hear that.
That's right. People want to hear that.
Absolutely. All right. Don't forget, you can email us right now, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Listen to this great song by Casting Crowns, "If We Are the Body."
Today, as she slips in, trying to fade into the faces, the girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why are the body, why aren't his arms reaching?
great song. I love that Casting Crown song. If we are the body, in other words, why aren't we doing what the body of Christ says? I mean, what we're supposed to be doing, what our assignments are. Why aren't we doing that if we really are the body? Why aren't our hands healing? Why isn't his love reaching to others? Why are those things not happening to the degree that they need to? This whole series that we've been teaching for the last few weeks on Living the Good Life and at Beacon of Hope is Harvest Hands for the Kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And God says to us in Romans 14:17 that the kingdom of God is not what you eat or drink. Mm-hmm. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And so we are told that we have an assignment. We have work to do. I was a high school teacher a while back, like a long while back. Anyway, I know
Pastor, you
guys. You
keep alluding to something.
No, I'm not.
It just barely escapes.
No. You know?
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Not at all. I'm not going to say that I'm older than you. I know you want me to, but you have gray hair, and I have 5 gray hairs.
Okay. Well, maybe you have a little bit more than 5.
I counted 7 this morning.
Yeah, did you count 7?
She counted 7. Okay, well.
So we have more gray hair than she does.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
So. No, but you... How did we get there? Anyway, I don't know either. But in my days of teaching high school in Indiana and biology and chemistry and Spanish and all that good stuff, and I love that. In those days, though, I learned an awful lot about kids and, you know, about this obedience thing when you're teaching in that level. And, you know, it's hard for kids to say, and it is for us as spiritual beings to say, okay, teach me. You know, a lot of times they seem to have an attitude that, we don't need this. When are we going to need this chemistry?
Or I already know.
Or I already know. And, you know, the concept of what we're talking about today is that we have to become so humble and teachable. Therefore, we can become obedient. Mm-hmm. And when we're obedient, we learn the lessons that God wants to teach us. And I remember so many students, like you said, they just were taking the class because they had to. They weren't thinking of their future and that they would need that class. Mm-hmm. And so often as spiritual beings, we aren't that into our spiritual growth.
No.
And God is saying, it's time, kids, spiritual kids, it's time to get so involved with your spiritual growth and decide, I want to become obedient.
Amen.
It's not always easy, is it, Nan?
Oh, no. It's not. Are you wanting me to expound? No, not yet.
What do you mean by that, Nan? It's not.
Yeah, yeah. You can't expound.
That is not obedient. Well, you know, we've got, Noah and I've gone through lengthy counseling sessions with you and Connie.
Uh-huh.
A lot of stuff happening. Mm-hmm. And in part of that, the Lord would be leading me to give something up. And I don't mean anything of physical thing, but just give up attitude. Mm-hmm. Give
right.
up whatever attitudes happen to be going on. And I would be disobedient because I did not want to surrender my control over to anybody because I'm one of those who likes to be in control and in charge.
No.
And know what's going on and know what's happening the next 10 steps. I know
really?
You know that about me,
no,
Pastor.
No, I
yes.
didn't know that about you, Nan.
So I walked in disobedience for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. And you willingly did that knowing that you were being told, okay, if you'll just surrender these areas of your life, life will get easier. But, you know, the devil tells us they don't know what they're talking about. The right. devil says, no, you're okay. You just do your thing with your life the way you want to. Yet God has a better plan for mm-hmm. us than we
yes.
can ever
God.
Imagine.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, really, than we could ever, ever imagine.
Well, he has a place where we find true peace.
Yes.
Oh,
and true
God.
Peace, true peace exists for us when we are obedient
yes.
to the will of God
right.
for our lives. When we're that doesn't mean we're not busy.
Right.
I mean, God gives us plenty of things. I mean, his hands healing.
Right. Right.
His
right.
feet moving, his
yes.
arms reaching.
Yes.
You know, those things being part of the body of Christ are our responsibilities.
That's right. Harvest hand
That's
work.
Harvest hand work. But harvest hand work for us does not begin without obedience to Christ.
Exactly. You know, it starts with an attitude. I'm going to be, I'm going to do, I'm going to listen, I'm going to behave, I'm going to do what God is calling me to do, and then it is going to, I'm going to get to that point where obedience is not a struggle. Obedience
is a joy.
Is a joy and a privilege. Yes. And we're going to talk more about during this whole show. First, I want to bring up this verse, Isaiah 1:19, and I love this verse. And it says this: if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the best of the land. That is a cool verse. I'm going to give it to you again.
That's a cool verse.
It's not talking about what you ate at Bob Evans today.
No, I said the best
man.
Of the land.
Okay.
Not Bob Evans. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, if you are willing and obedient, you're going to eat the best of the land.
Praise God.
I am willing and obedient.
Really?
And I'm awaiting the arrival. Here she is.
Oh, she's here.
She's on the line for you.
Is there somebody on the line?
Right on time.
She's right on time.
It's caller. Your daughter.
Hey, caller. You're a great caller.
Hi,
there.
Hi, Ann. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, Lori.
Good to hear your voice.
Love you guys.
We love you too.
Oh, wow.
We hear great things about you.
Thank you. Well, it's nice to be able to sit and watch you. How cool is that?
Right.
Are you watching
us?
Hi, Lori.
Yeah, we can wave to you.
All right.
You all, this is my only and my favorite daughter.
Of course.
Yes. Oh, Bill. There's Bill.
There's Bill.
Look, Lori. There's Bill. See?
30 seconds
there
delay.
He is.
I can't see Bill.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Well, all right. Well, he just ran out. Oh, yeah. 30-second delay.
Yeah,
now you will
delay.
In just a second.
Yeah.
Okay. 30-second delay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, daughter, you are the subject
Hi.
Of... There. Say 30-second delay. Yeah. Okay. You are the subject of the book that I wrote to you a little over a year ago.
Love my mamacita?
We do.
Yes, we do love her.
We love her.
Yes, that is your name for me, isn't it, daughter? Mamacita.
Yes.
Been that way a long time, yeah. And Lori, we're very, very proud of you. And we've talked about your book many times on the air, The Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost. But you know what? You and I are going to be writing a sequel, aren't we? Little Girl Found.
Yes, one day.
We are. Tell us, Lori, you are out of prison after 20 months. And I don't know about you, but I am so, so excited that you are... On the road.
Yes.
You want to comment
yes.
to our listening audience? There's been a lot of people around the world, daughter, that have prayed for you. Sean, that's Lori on the air. How about that? He just walked in. And
hi, Sean.
Yes. She loves Sean. And
I love you too. Yes.
Lori, there's so many people around the world that have read your book, have learned of your struggles with addiction for 20 years. And now know that you've been absolutely drug and alcohol free for 21 months. And it's pretty exciting, daughter, to know that God has been doing a great work in you because you have been obedient to the voice of the Lord, even though it was hard a lot of times, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I don't know a thing about disobedience. Well, it goes right along with what you've been talking about today, really.
Yes.
God is determined for you to be obedient, and he never gave up on me throughout all the years that I wanted to get clean, but just wasn't really fully ready to surrender yet.
Mm.
And he led me to a place of complete brokenness and caused me to become as humble as I possibly could and lose everything that my life was. Basically, he just simplified my life.
Mm.
And life right now, even though I am out, is very simple, and I love that. you know, I got all the chaos and extra things that I didn't need in my life out, and now everything seems so simple because I'm following what he wants me to do, finally.
Praise God.
Praise God.
And, you know, you were talking about spinning your wheels, and that's the, you know, basically I thought of the definition of insanity. You know, doing the same thing over and over.
And expecting different results.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, yes, thanks. I thank everybody for their prayers and Nan for her ministry to me.
Yes.
Right now through emails and poems and songs. And
it's amazing, so, isn't it?
Praise God, Lori. Lori, I'd like to say to you, I'm trying not to cry, but it's okay if I cry. That's okay. You know, God is really preparing you. I want to say it again because I want people over the show to hear this. Through what you have been through, and of course through what your mother has been through with that, and your mother actually stands as an example of what God does for us, you know? And when we're out there just not doing what he wants us to do, he still loves us.
Yeah.
And your mother still loved you through everything and everything that you ever did. She still stood by there and she still loved you. And now there's this awesome book about your life that your mother wrote to you, Letters to Lori, that's ministering to people. And there's going to be the sequel book that's going to minister to more and more people. And Lori, I want to tell you, God does have his hand on your life. You know that. And you're going to be in great and mighty ministry because of the brokenness that you have been through. He is going to minister and reach out to so many of you. And you know that. God is speaking that to you. And he's preparing you.
Yes. Well, and you know, you mentioned being healed and whole. And I feel healed and whole.
Praise
right
God.
Now.
Praise God.
And, yes, I do believe God's preparing me right now. I see that. And I just don't know what else to say.
Well,
you know,
one thing I want to tell you, let me say this. This is Nathan. There's not one single part of your life that is wasted in the plan of God for your life. He will use every bit of your life to minister into the lives of people. Because there are people that have that are where you've been, and they'll be able to relate to you because you've been there. They'll be able to relate to you, and they'll be able to receive from you because you've been there. And they'll know that you know what you're talking about.
Yes, and you know, I told Mom that are you still talking, Nathan?
No, I'm listening.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I couldn't tell. I told Mom that, you know, it's all of it is worth it. The 2 years sitting, 20 months in prison, and all of, you know, the 15 rehabs, all that is worth it just to be able to help one person and for someone, one person, to get something out of my struggle. And I know I'm very lucky and I'm very blessed to have my mother and my church family in Florida. And all, you know, one thing I noticed about the book with the 100 or so copies that I gave out there is that a lot of people don't have the kind of mom I have or the support that I have. I'm very, very fortunate and very blessed that I know a different way of life. I know, you know, and I don't know how people make it without God. I could never have made it through all of this without knowing that God was really carrying me through it for a reason.
Wow, and look where you are now, daughter.
Yes.
Yes, and he's restoring my family to me.
Yes, beautiful,
you know,
son.
Today, I didn't want to get up and go to AA because Levi wanted me home, but I went anyway and just wasn't feeling good today and wanted to lay down and not listen to the show, but I'm grateful that I did.
That's how the devil does it.
Yes.
But that's what we have to take authority over those kinds of things. And and get up and go and do what God calls us to do as harvest hands, you know? And
yes,
that's what it's about. It's about obedience. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into more nitty-gritty about obedience here in the next hour here. But, daughter, I'll tell you, and I've often said this, and you know it, that you have been one of the most stubborn people I've ever met.
No.
Lori, tell her it's not stubbornness. You're just a determined young lady.
Yes.
And
very
now you're determined. You're determined for God now, so you know.
Right. So she should rejoice.
But I say that in the nicest possible way, of course. But anyway, but through all of that, daughter, what I believe God is doing is turning that that determination, that stubbornness towards Him, where you are going to be and already are becoming so stubborn for the things of God, and that no matter what the devil throws at you, like today, you didn't feel like getting up and going to AA, you didn't feel like listening to the show, and yet you knew in your heart you had some things you had to do, and that's such an example of where God wants us on a daily basis. Even though we may not feel like it emotionally, God says, come on, honey, you're going to be so blessed if you'll just obey me. Mm-hmm. Woo!
Ooh, praise God. Mm-hmm.
And Satan gets a big black eye because he didn't win.
Amen.
Amen.
And don't we love giving him black eyes?
Yes. There you go. Lori, we're going to have you on the radio show more often. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that have your book and are excited this moment to hear your voice. And it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And to hear the joy in your heart.
Yes.
And to know that you
definitely have joy.
Yeah, and you're clean and sober, and that is so huge, you know?
Praise God. That's
definitely
right.
Have peace and joy every day in my life. Mm. Absolutely.
Mm. It's amazing, isn't it? 2 weeks tomorrow you've been out of prison. It's amazing.
Yay!
Yeah. There we go. That's called applesauce when we do that, all that applause thing. So,
okay.
So anyway, and hopefully within the next few months, we don't know when, but you and Levi, at least maybe Wayne too, will be able to visit, and you can be on the show live. And so we'll look forward to that, but we'll have you back before that. Anything else you'd like to say to our listening audience or to your church family here at Beacon or anybody else that you might?
Or to your mama.
Or to your mama.
Well, yes. I could not have made it over the last 2 years if it wasn't for my mom, and I appreciate her so much, and I love her so much, and I love all of my Beacon family. Cannot wait to meet you, Nan, and to see you, Nathan and Sean and Bill. Mm. And with that, I will hang up. But so,
but you're like me, daughter. You could go on for the next few hours, right?
Yeah. But I'd rather listen to you.
All right. You know what? And one of these days, you and I are going to be standing side by side.
Yes. Mm. One day.
And ministering. Yeah.
Yes.
Lori, thank you for your obedience to God.
Yes.
In your life. You know, it's a choice. You made a choice.
Yes, finally.
Finally. But you made the choice, and that's what counts. Mm-hmm. You know, other times that you failed in rehab or whatever, this time you have a determination. You have made a choice. And thank you for your obedience, which is what part of the subject is today. But thank you for your obedience to God and responding to His call on your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
Well, yes.
And
thanks, man.
It's
You're welcome, babe.
A joy to hear your voice.
It is.
It is truly.
Oh, yours too, Nathan.
It's truly.
She's always loved her Uncle Nathan. Yes.
Truly a joy to hear your voice.
I love Nathan.
And I love you.
Oh, all right, daughter. This was really a very nice surprise.
Yes.
And I will call you later tonight, or you call me. And God bless you. I love you. And thanks for being on the show.
God bless you guys.
For the first time.
Love you.
Okay, love you too.
Love you too.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister. And some of you that have been listening for the last few minutes just heard my daughter, Lori McAllister. And that was her first appearance on the radio show. And we're excited about what God is doing. 20 months clean and out of prison 2 weeks. And that's really exciting.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
With me today on the show are Nan and Nathan, part of our radio team. And it's exciting. Our topic today is obedience. And we didn't plan any of that with Lori calling in. I just told her last night on the phone that if she felt like at any time she could. Didn't know if she would today or not and how God did that. Mm-hmm. But we gave her some hints, right, early on the radio show.
Yeah, like she was listening.
45 minutes, right. Special guest.
Well, you know, you trained her well.
I did.
I looked at the clock. She called like 45 minutes after she was...
After she heard that.
Right.
There you go. So we're so glad you've all joined us. Beacon of Hope Ministries is getting ready to celebrate our 10th anniversary. It's huge for us. 10 years doing this that we do. 5 years, we're in our fifth year on the radio, but 10 years as a ministry. We're located 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. And 2 weeks from today, this weekend, is our anniversary weekend, Nathan.
And that's exciting.
Isn't it exciting? And we're going to have some special music on Friday night, a praise celebration.
Right, that's right.
Tell everybody what happens at a praise celebration, because you've been a part of many of them at Beacon of Hope.
At our praise celebrations, anything can happen.
There you go.
We have people that will get up and read poems.
Yeah.
Or perhaps give a selection from the scriptures that mean something to them.
Right.
Or just give a word of testimony of what God is doing in their life.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that sing, mm-hmm. you know, and people that play instruments. It's just a wonderful time of fellowship.
It's fun.
We get to know each other better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, just it's just a wonderful. It's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun.
And that'll be Friday night, October 7th at 7 o'clock at Beacon of Hope.
Yes.
And all are welcome. Let's fill up the place and have a great time. And Nan, on that Sunday, we're going to have a powerful service. You know we are.
Yes,
oh,
we
I
are.
Know we are.
Yes, we are.
It's like this workup. If you notice, we had an awesome Sunday.
Yeah.
But last Sunday was an awesome Sunday, but this one was a little bit more awesome.
It's
like, how
wild.
Do we get to that celebration? Praise
God. It's
going to be wild.
We're going to be raptured.
He's preparing us for that service because it's going to be so wild.
It was great today.
It was great.
People running on the backs of chairs.
Oh, man. You never know. You guys are all strange.
It's going to be wonderful.
That's why you hang with us.
I know. If people come
Praise
to Beacon
God.
And visit and they come back, we call it an accomplishment. Because it's that crazy,
but,
isn't it?
But people are coming back because they're like us. They want to see what God is doing.
They want to see what God is going to do. And that's what it's all about.
And that is what it's all about.
Well, you know what's exciting about Beacon? I mean, I've been in church, hadn't always served God, but I've been in church all my life. And Beacon is special. I've been in several churches in my life, some mainstream denominations and a couple independents.
Mm-hmm.
There's something special about Beacon, Pastor. The people can just be real.
Yes.
I can come in and just be me.
Yeah.
I like to joke around. They like to pick on me. And I can just be, I love that.
You're pickable.
Putting that out there, I won't be picked on. But no, I can just be me. I can laugh. I can joke.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can even come in maybe and be having a bad night.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I can just, the people just love me.
Amen.
Yes.
It seems like I get extra hugs those times when I come in and maybe I'm having a rough day, you know?
Amen.
And just the joy and the love that the people show me.
It's
awesome.
Really because how much God's love, that's really what it is. This ministry is about learning to accept God's love and have that deep relationship with the Lord.
And to share God's love.
Right.
And have
Amen.
A deep relationship. With each other.
Exactly.
Unity. It's fun.
I mean, everybody, and it seems like the people that are coming into the fellowship are of the same mind.
Yes. That's right.
And they accept, they receive the love
Amen.
So easily.
Yeah.
And we all are giving love so generously. And it's an atmosphere. It's an atmosphere you walk into. It's like, wow, this is home.
Yeah,
right.
This is home.
Amen.
And that's wonderful.
What we want it to be.
It's wonderful.
Woo,
it's wonderful.
Praise God.
Let's start this next hour with Defining Moment by New Song. I love this song.
Mm-hmm. to follow Christ. He's been waiting all our lives to hear us say, I am yours, Lord, take my hand and lead the way. When you believe He's all you need, that will be your defining moment as you live your life, walking in His light, trusting set before me to take His love inside my heart for all the world to see. Oh, all of heaven celebrates when they hear someone say,
God, what a great song. I've always loved that song. When you believe He's all you need, that will be your defining moment.
Yes.
That's not just for Lori. It's also for each of us. That when you get to that point, you realize, whoa, I need God. Mm-hmm. I need God because I can't fix this, you know? Yeah. And because I can't fix it, then I will lean on God. And go ahead.
Can I say something? I
guess yes, go ahead.
There was a line in that stuck out to me.
Okay.
I just had to share it. I can see. I will live and die for the cause He set before me.
Yes.
So, okay, I will die to self.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's it.
The defining moment mm-hmm. for me
yes.
was when I finally became obedient and died to myself.
What gave you wanted to do.
My mm-hmm. pride. Mm-hmm. Decided to surrender.
Amen.
That was a defining moment.
Mm-hmm. And that's it,
that's
right there.
That's right.
And that's what obedience is all about. And we talk a lot at Beacon of Hope about driving a stake in the ground
right.
and making
mm-hmm.
a decision, yes. you know, and saying, okay, from this, and that's why we have that blue line up front, right. front of the altar, because it becomes a point of contact where we stand on that line and we say, okay, I choose to follow God in this area of my life in obedience.
Yes.
I choose to listen to His voice and follow Him. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I love this chapter, Deuteronomy 30. We're not going to be able to get through all of it, but there's some really cool things in this. And it's talking about the difference between life and death, that God gives us a choice. Okay. And He says, and this is so true with my daughter, about God's choices. Let's start with verse 14 because we don't have time to go up and do the beginning part of this. Well, let's start with verse 10. Sorry. Let's go with verse 10. If you obey, now I'm in the NIV. If you obey the Lord your God and keep His commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. In other words, this is it. This is what it's all about. This is when God is going to bless you. Because right above that in verse 9, it says, the Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as He delighted in your fathers. And then verse 10, if you obey the Lord your God and keep His commands and decrees that are written in this book and turn to the God with all your heart and with all your soul. Your heart is your spirit. That's the part that you are spirit, soul, and body. And your spirit is the part that gets saved and you give it to Jesus. Going to live forever, eternally. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. And so often we want to control things and keep God out of our emotions and out of our minds. And we want to, yeah, that's fine to have Jesus in my heart and my spirit, but, you know, God, don't invade my thoughts. Don't invade the little things I like to say and do. You know, and a lot of that, for a lot of people, is addictions and, mm-hmm. and things mm-hmm. that keep them from facing God. Mm-hmm. So let's go on here. Verse 14. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. Why do you get up and read your Bible? Why do you find a place, whether this radio show is your church every week, that's fine. But you need to find a place where you receive the word of God, yes. the anointed right. word of God. Why, Nathan? Why is it so important to tune in to the word of God, so to speak?
Because that's the way we grow.
Right.
Amen. That's the way that our soul begins to unite with our spirit.
Amen.
So many people, that mm-hmm. they receive Christ.
Yeah.
And their spirit and their soul are in constant conflict.
Right.
Because the spirit wants to be obedient to God.
Right.
The spirit wants to follow after God.
Right.
But so many times the soul wants to follow after me.
Exactly.
After what I want to do.
That's a good way to describe it.
I want to, and it's always in conflict.
Yes.
You know, Paul described it, what I would do, I do not.
Right.
Because of this conflict, this constant conflict in my soul against the soul striving against the spirit.
Exactly.
And so.
Yes.
So we have to choose to be obedient.
We choose.
We choose to be obedient to the Spirit, which has been united with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
We choose to be obedient to the Spirit and become a whole person.
Amen.
A whole person.
Woo.
Rather than someone that's divided.
Fragmented. Divided.
Fragmented, yes,
how
divided.
Long will you hesitate
yes.
between two opinions?
Yes.
Nan, you got to a point several months back where you were being pretty disobedient, and you have a poem you want to share, correct?
Well, he just said whole, and I thought, that word is in one of the poems.
W-H-O-L-E, whole, means complete.
Complete.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, share what you had written, because Nan is our resident poet.
Poet?
She's yes. a poet, and she does know it.
And she does know it.
all right.
I remember my days of disobedience. They caused me so many problems for me. I thought I was so much in control of things, yet I was in so much bondage and not free. Mm. By my disobedience, I was running from God. I wanted to do my own thing, be in control. However, it only served to make me broken. I needed to be obedient to become whole.
Mm.
I was running from the direction God gave me, not truly realizing what a mess it was making me.
Mm.
Then one day I woke up and truly realized that through obedience is how I would actually be free.
Mm.
I thought obedience would cramp my style. Boy, let me do that again. The last several Woo! Months we've traveled together. I yeah. thought obedience would cramp my style, but I've since learned that is so wrong. With surrendering to the will of my Heavenly Father, I'm actually being empowered to become strong. It is now a delight to operate in obedience. Let me say that again, too. It is now a delight to operate in obedience,
mm-hmm.
for it is through obedience that I'm actually free.
Mm.
So I daily strive to behave and do as I should do. Obedience is way so cool. That's what I now see.
Yes. Woo! Amen.
Praise God.
That's a cool poem.
That's a great poem.
God gave that today. Praise God.
You know what? We probably need to put that on our website or
yes.
someplace. That's
yes.
That's really a good poem.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave that to you today?
Yes. Well, or maybe sometime. You said we're talking about obedience, and he gave me the poem.
Okay.
So sometime
the last
mm-hmm.
day
this
or so.
I mean, this show. It's for this show.
Okay. So it's for some people out there that
yes,
could
yes,
really benefit from
it. For some people
yes,
out there. Yes.
Okay. So here we are, Nan, in a place where you had grown up in church. You'd grown up in the Word. You had been a church leader and so forth. Then you got into some areas in your life that you just were not following God, and you were doing what Nan wanted to do all the time.
Correct.
And it got you into some hot water and some situations.
Yes.
Right. So then at some point in the last few months, you began to realize that obedience was better than disobedience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when you began to realize that, how did your emotions change as each step you began to obey God in certain situations? You don't have to tell what those are.
Oh, no, yeah,
I'm just talking in generalities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, in generalities, as you took each step to say, okay, God, I'm going to choose your path on this one. I'm not going to do what I would have normally done myself. I'm going to do what you want done. How did that begin to change your emotions, and how did you begin to feel?
Well, at first it was very uncomfortable because I was surrendering my will to him, and I didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then he would lead me, say, in a certain way, and this is how you should handle the situation. And I was kind of like, I always compared myself, actually several poems that he inspired for me also during that time. I was kind of like the little kid who's kicking the stone on the side of the, on the sidewalk, whose father is telling them to, you know, come on, do some, come along, and you're not wanting to come along, and kind of, meandering along, you know. So that, say, he would lead me or tell me to do something in a certain way, and okay, well, fine, God, I'll do it. You know, I felt like I was being made to do it, but I actually was surrendering in doing that, you know. And so, as each time that I was doing it more and more and more, I started feeling better. I mean, I started feeling freer. I started feeling that bondages that were there were leaving me out of this obedience thing. I'm like, wait, obedience? That's not what obedience, you know, you're not supposed to. But I find more freedom in obedience and peace of mind. Praise God, peace of mind.
Yes.
Peace of mind. Joy.
Pretty cool,
love.
Isn't it?
It's great. I mean, God is so cool, you know?
Yeah.
But just the freedom that I found.
You find freedom in obedience.
Absolutely.
Because God knows the big picture, Nathan. He knows what is best for each of us. And when we submit to his leadership and he gets to run the show of our lives, and he's in control and he's in the driver's seat instead of being in the back seat or in the trunk, as sometimes, or just kind of walking down the road because we went on, you know. I mean, as we really let him drive, our lives change.
Yes. And then also, it's exciting.
Yes.
It's exciting to see what God does in our lives when we give him the driver's seat.
Yes.
Because he helps us become more than what we are.
Amen.
You know,
the anointing of God.
Seriously.
Yes.
I mean, things that you can't even imagine. That you can't even imagine. It's hard for me to find words to describe the difference between me in the driver's seat and God in the driver's seat. It's hard to find words.
You know, it's the anointing. We start our shows with the river of God's anointing.
Yes.
And
I want to live there.
Oh, my.
Can I join you? May I join you?
Sure.
And just like what happened this morning in our worship, our praise and worship.
Oh, man. Oh.
I mean, I was battling a sore throat, which I'm not now. Okay? I didn't even mention it this morning because I had given it to God and I knew it was going to be fine. But I really, if anybody would have told me before the service that I would have ended up singing the verses on holy ground.
And honey, you sang on pitch. You sang.
Well, that's as a compliment.
You sang strong. It was strong and it was
it
on
was
pitch
good.
And it ministered. It ministered.
It was, well, I mean, in my own physical strength with the throat that I started with this morning, that would never have been happening.
But it
but
did.
We got into that place of just following the Holy Spirit and letting him lead, and it just went into a different realm.
It just flowed.
And that's what God promises us from obedience.
Yes.
No, maybe you won't be singing the verses of Holy Ground, but and by the way, one day in heaven, you get to meet our praise and worship leader from Cornerstone many years ago, Sylvia, who, when she sang those verses, all heaven came down.
Well, I can't wait to meet her.
And I tell you, big, beautiful black lady that I was always trying to get as tan as her. And anyway,
you know what I always tell you, that you're a big black woman and a white woman.
I am. I am indeed. But it's that is an example of when you are in the power of mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit in a situation like this morning, mm-hmm. and you just, when God said to me, you're going to do these verses, I mean, you and I didn't even communicate. Mm-hmm. I just started singing.
And
you
I was
just
there.
Went with it in the keyboard, and we
right
just,
there.
And we were there. And so often in our lives, in our own strength, we think we can't do
right.
certain things.
Right.
We think we can't perform adequately at a job. We think we can't stay clean, or we can't give up this vice or alcohol or whatever the thing is. And God says, when you flow in my anointing, my presence,
you can
do those things.
Yes. Yes.
Choose life. Comment on that, Nan. You're seeing me a lot happier these days ministering to people
yeah.
than back a few months ago when Nan was doing Nan's thing.
Oh, I tell you, it kept you and Connie praying a lot. If Connie's here, and thank you, Connie, but
kept
it kept you guys on your knees.
Kept me on my knees.
You gotta do something, keep you guys on your knees, keep you straight. No, that...
Whatever.
Oh, praise God.
Praise
okay.
God. We know what you mean.
We know what you mean.
Thank you. The difference.
Yes.
Since I reached a certain point in my life in
mm-hmm.
July,
mm-hmm.
I know there's been an anointing on me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's been noticeable, I know, by my brothers and sisters at the church, because there was such a difference in a night and day, because I was called Jonah around that, which was fine, because, you know, it was kind of a joke, but I was Jonah. I was running. I was being disobedient. Mm-hmm. I was not doing what I was supposed to do. I was not turning my will over to God. I was not, you know, walking in what he wanted me to walk in.
Right.
And so the difference, I mean, God has just, I went up to the blue line. Actually, mm-hmm. I went up to the blue line. Actually, I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
And I've gone up there many times. But I went there specifically when I went there 2 weeks ago. I remember I looked at you and I said, I just want God to use me in any way He
Amen.
Can use me. Mm. You guys prayed with me.
Yes.
You know, the last 2 weeks, he has opened up such, you know, I've been emailing you such opportunities. Mm-hmm. I mean, praying with people in my office.
Yes.
Shutting the door and praying. And I consider those break times, because
yes.
I don't think we're supposed to take away from the time that our employer is paying us.
Right.
We should be stewards, good stewards on doing that. And we're expected to be by the Lord. But that would be a break time for me, having the chance to pray with someone for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I pray with a lady in the parking lot the first week. You know, I mean, I mean, I've been able to talk about God more the last 2 weeks than I have in 12 months.
Because mm. you're obedient and you're willing
yes.
to do that. Listen
yes.
to this song by Down Here, What Life Would Be Like. And we're going to resume this conversation in a minute.
Mm. I wish I was more of a man. Have you ever felt that way? And if I had to tell you the truth, I'm afraid I'd have to say that after all I've done and failed to do, I feel like less than I was meant to be. And what if I could fix myself? Maybe then I could get free. I could try to be somebody else who's much better off than me. But I need to remember this, that is when I'm at my weakest. I can clearly see he made the lame walk and the dumb talk, and he opened blinded eyes to see that the sun rises on his time. Yet he knows our deepest desperate need, and the world waits while his heart aches to realize the dream. I wonder what life would be like if we let Jesus live through you. Through another pair of eyes, what if you could hear the truth instead of old familiar lies? And what if you could feel inside the power of the hand that made the universe? You'd realize that he made the lame walk and the dumb talk, and he opened blinded eyes to see that the sun on his time. Yet he knows our deepest desperate need, and the world waits while his heart aches to realize the dream. I wonder what life would be like if we let Jesus live through you and me. Yeah.
talk. He often blinded eyes to see that the sun rises on his time. Yet he knows our deepest desperate need, and the world waits while his heart aches to realize the dream. I wonder what life would be like if we let Jesus live.
Praise God. What would life be like if we really let Jesus live through you and me? Woo! You are listening to Living the Good Life.
That's what heaven's going to be like. That's what heaven's going
to
be like.
Amen. Oh. Listen to Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Mm. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, his decrees, his laws. Then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will be certainly destroyed. You will not live long in the land you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. Let's look at verse 19 of Deuteronomy chapter 30. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you may live. Mm. And that so you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is his promise. If we obey, Nan, you...
Can I say something?
She's like chomping at the bit over here, Nathan.
I know.
It's a difference it's that wonderful. God makes in your life when you finally become obedient and start doing what he wants you to do. Mm-hmm. You're talking about, it says in the scripture there, choose life, choose death. When I was in counseling with you and Connie, I don't know how many texts I must have gotten from Connie. I love Connie.
She's in charge of texting. Yes.
Something would come up, some issue, and I would usually bring it up. I mean, it's not like a pounding kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it is. You know, but it was, I would bring something up, and then the issue would be discussed back and forth. It was like, Nan, it's your choice. Choose life or choose death. Mm. I don't know how many times I heard that either by text or in counseling. Mm. It's your choice. Choose life or choose death.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's the choice.
And that's the daily choice. That's the moment by moment choice that we have. We can choose life or we can choose death. We can choose life or death to a relationship.
Right.
Life or death to an opportunity.
Right.
Life or death to... life or death.
Well, so often the devil comes and he brings death in the form of thoughts that are destructive.
Or things that are enticing.
Exactly. Enticing things, temptations, whether that be drugs or alcohol or gambling addictions or whatever those things might be. And we have a choice right then.
Yes.
I'm going to give into this or I'm not.
Yes.
So often the devil, he doesn't play fair. He entices you. He leads you down a very bad path. And when he gets you there and you make the wrong decision and you follow what the devil wants you to do, he does not congratulate you.
No.
For doing that. Instead, he says, how dare you? Why did you do that? Yes. God is really upset
really
with
mad
you.
At you.
God's mad at you. Yep. The devil doesn't play fair. He leads you down the bad path. And then instead of congratulating you, he condemns you and beats you up for your decision. You know, and obedience. And I'm going back to Isaiah 119. And I know I'm talking fast, but, you know, man, 2 hours goes by really quick
too fast.
On this show. Isaiah 119, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land.
Hallelujah.
And that is not just talking about food. It's probably not even talking about food at all.
Mm-mm.
It is talking about the best of the Word of God.
Yes.
When you are willing and obedient, the Word comes alive to you. A verse stands out to you, and you know that's God talking directly to you.
To you.
And when you are willing and obedient, you are finding that you are eating the Word. Jeremiah 15, 16, one of my favorite verses. One of many. One of them says this. They tease me, listeners, because I have so many favorite verses.
The whole Bible winds up being one of them, just to let you guys know.
Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them.
Yes.
And they became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So when you're willing and obedient, you're eating the best of the land. You open your Bible and no longer is it Greek to you.
Yeah.
Right.
No longer is it a foreign language. Instead, it like, oh, wow, that makes sense.
Yes.
And we love the Message Bible. I teach out of that because it is simple level of understanding, and the word comes alive. Mm-hmm. And Ann, you have a thought because I see
you writing
something down.
Sorry,
go ahead. Let's hear your thought.
When you're obedient, you grow closer to God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Then, when something comes up that you have the choice of being obedient or disobedient, if you start going towards that disobedient way, you start feeling bad. Mm. I didn't feel bad when I was running as Jonah a large part of the time because I wasn't trying to please God because I was busy running from Jonah and I didn't want to please God.
You mean running from God and being Jonah?
Yeah, did I mess that up?
Yeah, kind of.
Thanks for fixing. That's why I need a pastor out
there.
Fix
you
it
go.
For me. Thank
yes,
you,
you do.
Much. I
All
appreciate
right.
it. You know. Well, let me give an example. I was disobedient last night. Mm. Was dealing a couple things that I have laid down at the cross. 2 or 3 weeks ago, and realized I was picking them back up again.
Okay. Mm. We can do that.
So I had left a Christian concert I had been to last night and was heading back to Tampa, and the Lord began to deal with me about that. And, you know, he writes a lot of, you know, inspires poems, so he's began to deal with me about that, and I didn't like that very much. Mm. So I said, okay, God, give it to me in a poem. Mm. So he's like, oh, okay, when you get to the house, pull up your computer. Mm. And you know what I did? I didn't. Because I didn't want to hear what he was going to say to me. Because I knew the direction of what it was going. Because he gave me the general idea. And you know, I woke up this morning. And immediately what came to my mind, the first thing was, I was disobedient to God.
Yes.
Exactly.
And I'm like, wow. Mm. And I asked his forgiveness. And I said, I'm really sorry. I mean, he had a word for me and still does. He had a word for me and still does. No, but the disobedience, it broke my heart.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I was disobedient.
Praise God.
In what I did.
Praise God. It should break our hearts
when
we are.
I love him so much.
Yes.
I don't want to hurt him.
Yes.
And
Amen.
Strike out at him. You know?
Amen.
And, you know, Jesus. So... Pastor, I was disobedient last night.
All right.
But I don't have to I share with you because I choose to.
Yeah.
But praise God, I don't have to. We only confess to God.
That's right.
You know?
Jesus.
Jesus, sorry, Jesus.
If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9,
He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
And disobedience is unrighteousness.
It really is unrighteousness.
Nathan, you and I grew up as preacher's kids and in the word for a long time, and there's a lot of people probably out there, listeners, that have had a similar experience growing up in church or maybe their parents were in the ministry. Just because your parents are in the ministry doesn't mean that you are an obedient child of God, does it?
Oh, no, it doesn't.
In fact, preacher's kids, they call us PKs or worst, right?
Oh, yeah.
But,
and we were living examples. I was.
Yeah,
I was a living example of, you know.
So you had to come to a point, and I had to come to a point in my life where serving God and being obedient was more important than all the peer pressure around me and all the fun things that I thought I would miss out on.
All the things that we thought were fun.
Thought were fun.
Because, I mean, I could tell you tales of situations that I thought was fun that got me into so much trouble. And so much, I mean, there were so many situations that were destructive.
So
many situations that were debilitating. But I mean.
Yeah. And I know my daughter is saying amen to that right now as she listens.
There are things that I still pay a price for.
Right.
You know,
right.
That I look back on it and I think, my Lord, why did I do that? Why did I allow that situation in my life?
Because the devil deceives us, Nathan, into thinking that if we just do it our way, because you mentioned my way earlier, but the devil really does deceive us into thinking that we are smart enough to figure out our mess and we're smart enough to fix it. And we and really the goal of the Christian life is to become so dependent. I'm going to say that again. Mm-hmm. Some of you need to write this down. The goal of the Christian life is to become so dependent on the Holy Spirit, on the presence of God in our lives, that He is the one directing our day. Mm-hmm. He is the one leading mm-hmm. us and guiding us. And, you know, we started this show off with that song about He's not on His knees yet. You know, because He's too strong to be weak. Mm-hmm. And Lori, really, that was great, her comments on that. And she was talking about the simplicity of her life. I mean, she was reduced 21 months ago to three hots and a cot is what they call it,
yeah,
you know?
Right. That's exactly
three hot
right.
meals and a cot. And then, you start out with nothing in prison. Mm-hmm. And then, but she was so blessed to get into the drug rehab unit there and go through that successfully. And then all the things that God did yeah, in
oh
her that will be in the next book. But still, back to this. When we think we can fix ourselves, we have a big wake-up call coming, don't
yes,
we, Jonah?
We do.
No, not Jonah anymore. We can't call you Jonah.
Nan Asher.
There you go. Asher
means
happy.
Happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My, what changes in you have occurred since we saw you finally lay right. things at the altar and say, okay, I can't figure this out. God, I don't know where I'm going with this or this or this or this in my life, but you know God.
Yes, God
yeah.
knows.
I don't want to say overwhelming, but almost it's so incredible. Is mm-hmm. it better? It's so incredible to see what He's done in my life. Mm-hmm. I can see it. I know it. I can feel it. I walk
we
it.
We can see it too, we, can't we, Nathan?
We can see it too.
Yeah.
We probably have a better view.
Oh, yes, we do. We have a better view.
We're from the outside. We're the outside looking in, and you know, you're from the inside looking out.
Well, then some of my exuberance when I come into Wednesday night service must really be getting to you guys.
It does.
It's wonderful.
But you know, I mean, just such a difference. I mean, just. Such a difference. I mean, He's just made such a difference. I mean, you know, you were talking about, you know, just living with the Lord. I mean, the last 2 weeks, literally, ever since I went up and had, I mean, the last 2 weeks, it's like my whole life, literally my whole life has revolved around God.
Thank
I've
Jesus.
Worked, I've done my job, you know, I've done the things I need to do, but He constantly, He's on my mind.
Mm-hmm. And He's opening doors of opportunity for you to share and be the harvest hand that God has called you to be, because He's opened doors for you to talk to people, pray for people. When we have that attitude of obedience, people come to us. We don't have to stand on the corner and wait on it.
Or we don't have to go searching for them either.
Right. We don't, do we, Nathan?
No, we don't.
I mean, and that is how cool and how great our God is. That He... Oh, man, He's awesome.
The fact of the matter is, though, they're all around us.
They are.
They're within arm's reach many times. They're just right there. And all we have to do is have eyes to see and ears to hear.
Amen.
And a heart to obey.
We played, was it last week, People Need the Lord,
need
which
the
is
Lord.
That
yep.
that song
mm-hmm.
I just love.
Yep.
Because they do. They really do. Yeah. Go ahead.
I kind of felt like the Lord wanted me to do something, and I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I am going to do it, and I would encourage anybody who's listening to do this as they move forward and become harvest hands. The Lord spoke to me and said, "Okay, now when I went into work, start kind of making a list of every chance you've had, every time you've talked to someone
Amen.
About me."
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
"Amen.
Now, Lord, that's kind of like conceited."
No,
and so I didn't do it. And so I remember the first day I did it, I was like, "Wow!"
Right.
I got to pray with someone the first day. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to so-and-so, and
yes.
I made this list.
Do it.
And then I didn't do it anymore because I thought, this is rather odd. And then when Satan started trying to tackle me, and Satan started trying to come against me, and Satan all his little attacks, I'm like, well, you know, the Lord's been using me. And then I
That's
thought...
Right.
That's why God wanted me to make
That's
a
why
list.
God
I could have gone down the list and showed Satan.
Satan, look at this.
Yeah, exactly.
Satan, look at
exactly.
this.
That's
look
our praise
so,
report
this.
List.
So, exactly. Praise report. There you go.
There
so,
it is.
So,
it is.
So you know what? Starting this week, Monday,
praise
let's go back into.
There you go.
Going to go for it.
There you go.
Bill, let's go to this song that fits in perfectly. How great is our God? We do this at church a lot. Chris Tomlin.
Oh, come on now. Praise God.
Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice.
He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice.
Sunday, didn't we, Nathan?
Yes,
and Aaron did the verses on the guitar. And wow, be healed, Aaron, because she was sick today. So we can't wait to get her back doing that song. And wow, it is fantastic. And Bill, towards the end, instead of using our normal one, we're going to cue that one back up, because when I tell you, we're going to use that one again, because that's it. How great is our God? How great is our God that he knows what is best for Nan, what is best for Bill, what is best for Sean, what is best for Lori, what is best for Nathan. And that's just us right here, let alone all these other people everywhere. And he says to us, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. And that is Isaiah 1:19, and that is a verse you need to commit to memory, because when we are willing, now willing is a key, Nathan. Mm-hmm. Tell me about willingness, will you?
Our wills.
Some people are obedient without being willing.
Yes.
Okay, so I mean,
Some people are begrudgingly obedient.
They do it
because they feel like they have to.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like it's God commands this, mm-hmm. so I will do it.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than I love God and I will do it.
Exactly.
Because sometimes we do things out of a heart of begrudgingly.
Yes.
And other times we do things out of a heart of love.
Amen.
And when we do it out of a heart of love, the reward is great.
totally and completely.
Yes.
If we do it because we're told there'll be a reward, like if you do this, you know, when my kids were little at church when I was pastoring, I mentioned this morning. Yeah. My youngest son, Mark, was only 6 when I started the church in Indiana. And I knew he was known at elementary school as Motor Mouth Mark. So I made him sit all those years that I pastored at church on the front row. And some of my Indiana dear parishioners that are probably listening to this show may remember seeing Mark on the front row there. And, you know, he took notes, and it really was a good thing for him. Mm-hmm. And if anybody would have said, would you rather be sitting back with your friends? I'm sure Mark would. But Mark has such a fantastic relationship with the Lord now. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is because he let go of any begrudging of having to sit on the front row, mm-hmm. and just obediently every Sunday would just go and sit down, get his little place, get his little notebook and his Bible, and sit there and get ready for what God had to say to him. Mm-hmm. Nan, comment on this, on being that willing, obedient person instead of just obedient, the willingly obedient.
Well, there again, I think there's more freedom in that. You have more joy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have joy because you're doing it because you want to do it. You're not going to be obedient. I'm doing this because I know I'm going to get something out of it. You're doing it just because you want to do it.
Right.
Not expecting. In my life, I mean, I'm being obedient, God. It's not because I'm expecting anything. I love him.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I have fallen in love with my God, mm-hmm. my Jesus.
That's right.
When the rich young lawyer came to Jesus, okay, and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That's in Luke chapter 10, about verse 21, 22. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, how does it read to you? And he said, well, the way I see it, if I love the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, my strength, my mind, and my neighbor as myself, that's what it takes. And Jesus said, you got it. That's it. Mm-hmm. Do this. Mm-hmm. It has everything. Do this and you shall live.
Right.
It has everything to do with us being willingly obedient because out of love, right, we want to serve him. Nathan, comment on that. We got a couple minutes for your final comments. Be thinking on those. There's so much to say, and we've been here almost two hours, and we have
haven't run out of things to say.
Oh no,
loving God is everything.
Yes,
loving God is everything, and you know what? God is easy to love.
Yes,
yes, he is.
We make it hard,
right? We do,
but he's easy to love. He receives love from us so easily.
Yes.
And he gives love to us so easily. God loves us even when we don't love him.
Amen.
And that's hard to fathom.
Right.
Because there are times in my life when I didn't love myself.
Right. Exactly. Sure.
And I couldn't imagine God loving me or anyone else as far as I was concerned. But God loved me even then, and God is love.
Yes. Right.
His very nature is love, and sometimes that love takes on the form of the trials and tribulations we go through to learn something.
Exactly.
But he's a loving God that he won't take those things out of our lives because he wants us to learn,
right,
and he wants us to grow.
Right.
He wants us to break. So, to be on our knees.
Yes.
He wants us to realize that our weakness and his strength.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to realize these things because he loves us.
Right.
Amen.
Because he loves us.
Exactly.
And he wants us to love him.
So when we do the things he asks us to do, we are willingly obedient and not begrudging that God has said, get up and pray for so-and-so.
Right.
Or, you know, I want you to go call somebody or write an email or whatever the case may be.
Give away something.
Yeah, or give something. Yes. And when we are willingly obedient, we eat the best of the land. Mm-hmm. Every blessing that we can imagine begins to come on us in such amazing ways.
Yes.
Oh, my. Yes. Nan, do you have a comment to that?
Eating the best of the land. I tell you what, the past 2 weeks have just been awesome for me. And I was sitting there thinking, I feel like I'm eating the best of the land now, but this is just nothing compared to the best of the land. You know?
Exactly.
I mean, and this has been so wonderful. I mean, oh my gosh. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
It's
wow.
It's just, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
You look forward to.
Oh,
exactly. Obedience is a wonderful thing.
Oh, yes. Willing obedience.
And I like that, Nathan, you stressed about the love, because when it is, when we are willingly obedient from a place of love, mm-hmm. from a place of God, I know you know what's best for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know it all, right. but I want you to do what you want done right. in my life. I want to get done what your plan for my life is. Yes. And when we go with that, yes. you know, wow, everything changes. Oh, my, in such a mighty way. Yes. Dear listener, thank you, Nan and Nathan. Dear listener out there, if you are not aware of how much God loves you, know this. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Yes. Start Amen. That song very, very softly, please, until we get to the chorus. God has a wonderful plan for your life, dear listener. And he is so powerful and so great that he knows everything there is to know about you. And his desire is that you become the vessel of honor that he designed you to be. You are clay in the potter's hand. If you are not positive that you belong to Jesus, if you would die tonight, would you be in the arms of Jesus? It's very simple. Pray the prayer and ask Jesus to come into your heart and live in you. If you want to talk to me personally, the best way to do that is pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and I will respond to your email. God has a plan for you. Why not discover what that plan is? Because when you do, when you get on board with God's plan and you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. So whatever your resistance to following God might be, God says, I have a plan that's going to change your life.
Amen.
And it's going to give you all that you have ever desired.
Yes, God, yes.
It's going to give you more joy than you've ever known. Can anybody say amen to that?
Yes.
More
Praise
peace
God.
Than
yes.
you've ever known.
Amen.
More
Hallelujah.
Love, more direction.
Yes.
It's going to give you all of that and so much more.
Yes.
Wow.
Praise God.
Praise God. God is God. Oh, yes. How great is our God. Well, I'm going to come back and close the show in just a minute. Just crank it up a little bit. Woo! Hey, amen. God. Woo! God is powerful. He is
yes,
mighty,
yes, he is.
And he
yes,
wants
he
to change your life. So submit to him this day. Make a decision. Drive a stake in the ground today. Mm-hmm. And make it your stake of obedience and willingness. Mm-hmm. And if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land.
Yes.
That's Isaiah 119. We're Beacon of Hope Ministries, almost 10 years old, and we're excited about that. 2 weeks from this day, we're going to have a great, big, crazy celebration here in the radio station for 10 years of ministry, five almost on the radio. God has blessed us. We welcome you to our services Sunday morning at 10. That is at 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. And Wednesday night at 7 for a wild, wonderful Bible study.
Yes.
This week, Pastor Jim and I are teaching on pastoring
All right.
Cool.
The pastors, be a
the pastors are teaching on pastoring. How about that?
All right.
It's going to be cool. 7 o'clock Wednesday night. And before that, we have prayer meeting, which starts at 6:15. You can come directly from work, bring your dinner. We've set up the tables already today, getting ready for Wednesday night. It's going to be great. Thursday night is Faithful Leaders. For some of you that are in my class on Faithful Leaders, 7 o'clock Thursday night. And 2 weeks from now, the big anniversary celebration. God bless you. Have a good week. If you have a prayer request, send it to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com 24/7. That email is monitored, and your request will go to our prayer team, and it will be prayed for. God bless you. Have a great week. It's been Nan Watson, Nathan Burton, and Pastor Marcia McAllister here on Living the Good Life. God bless you. Oh, and my daughter, our special guest.
No, don't forget Lori.
Can't forget Lori McAllister.
All right.
God bless you all. See you next week on Living the Good Life, 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.